Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Back with us is pollster Steve Greenberg from the well-known Siena Poll, which emanates from the Siena College Research Institute. Welcome back, Steve Greenberg.
Great to be with you, Dave.
Well, obviously, you have another poll. Now, just in general on the issue of polls, I think it's important for people to realize, I know a lot of our listeners already do, but it's worth reminding, isn't it, that a poll is really just a snapshot in time. That's all it's really meant to be.
Absolutely. Look, a poll is not a magic eight ball. You can't shake it and see what the future is going to bring. A poll in February of 2025 tells you almost nothing about what's going to happen in elections, be they primary or general elections, in 2026. All this poll does, just like any poll, is tells you where New Yorkers are at on people in politics, and people in government, issues that are being addressed or debated, tells you where they are right now at the beginning of February in 2025.
And at the beginning of February in 2025, we see that Governor Kathy Hochul's favorability, approval, and reelect ratings are still underwater. Now, you can follow this from the previous poll. So while one poll is a snapshot, if you look at several snapshots over time, you can start to see a trend. And when it comes specifically to the governor's favorability, she hasn't done so well in that department.
No. Let's take a half step back and put this in context. Everyone talks about New York, a solidly blue, dark blue state. Well, one of the reasons we say that is because there are more than twice as many Democrats in New York as there are Republicans. 49% of the enrolled voters of the state are Democrats. Only 23% of the enrolled voters of the state are Republicans. So Democrats have a better than 2-to-1 edge. With that in context, over her 3.5-year tenure as governor, Kathy Hochul has never once had a favorability rating that hit higher than 48%. 48% favorable is the best she's ever gotten. She's never gotten a majority of New Yorkers, despite the fact that 49% of New Yorkers are Democrats, to have a favorable view of her. For the last several months, her poll numbers are in this sort of narrowish meh band. I mean, they're not horrible, but they're not good. Right now, only 39% of New Yorkers have a favorable view of Hochul. 47%, a plurality, not a majority, have an unfavorable view of her. Back in December, it was 39 favorable, 49 unfavorable. So she lost, you know, she picked up 2 points on the bad side that came down, but still in this middling range. And it's true of her job approval rating as well. Right now, 44% of voters approve of the job that Kathy Hochul's doing as governor, but a plurality, 48%, disapprove. Back in December, it was 46-49. So down a point for the governor, essentially, this month. But again, very middle of the road poll ratings from her constituents.
Yeah, Stephen. And I think, too, when you look at these numbers, while 31% of voters say they would reelect Hochul, 57% want, quote, someone else. And that has to have members of her own party who may be thinking about a primary, possibly. And of course, we've been hearing rumblings from the Republicans. They're looking for a candidate. And we hear a lot now about Republican Mike Lawler because, you know, these poll numbers are speaking to the opposition.
No question. I mean, the good news for Governor Hochul, when you look at a poll like this, is that the election is not for at least a year and a half. The Democratic primary would be June of next year, the general election November of next year. So she has time. More concerning, though, Dave, than the 31 reelect, 57 prefer someone else. Look at that number just with Democrats alone. Yeah. Only 47% of Democrats say they're prepared to reelect Hochul. 41% of Democrats say they want someone else. So it's not just Republicans and independents. It's also Democrats.
No question. And yet, when you look at her policy proposals, they get pretty much high marks. So it doesn't seem like the policy proposals that people like, they're accrediting it to Governor Hochul, ultimately.
That, I think, is exactly right. Look, Sienna asked voters about 10 specific proposals that Governor Hochul had either in her State of the State address or in her budget presentation. All 10 of them get support from the overall electorate of New York. 8 of the 10 have majority support. 2 of them only have plurality support. But 8 of them have majority support, and 4 of them have majority support of Democrats, Republicans, and independents. So there are 4 issues that the governor talked about earlier, you know, last month, that across the political spectrum, voters agree with her on these issues. And that includes providing a free breakfast and lunch to all public school students across the state, ensuring uniformed police officers on every New York City subway overnight from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., increasing the average child tax credit that tax-paying households with children get, increasing it from $472 to $943 on average. That's going to cost about $825 million. But again, overwhelming support, strong support from Democrats, Republicans, and independents. And to me, one of the more interesting ones is her proposal to require that all school districts find a way to restrict smartphone use by students in K through 12 throughout the school day. There is virtually no partisan divide here. Overall, New Yorkers support that smartphone ban 62 to 21%, nearly 3-1. It's got support from 63% of Democrats, 65% of Republicans, 56% of independent voters. So very little partisan difference. The difference on this question is age. Voters under 35, they support it, but barely, 41 to 37%. But voters 55 and older, my age cohort, they support it overwhelmingly, 75 to 15%.
So fascinating to me. Do you have any thoughts on why the governor doesn't get credit for some of these proposals in her favorability rating?
No, I would just simply say that unfortunately for Governor Hochul, there appears to be a disconnect between her policies, and how her constituents view her. Because you're exactly right. All 10 of these proposals get at least 54% support from Democrats. Yet, when we asked Democrats, do you want to reelect her, only 47% of Democrats said yes. So the governor has time. As I say, that's the good news for her. But she's got to make use of that time and find a way to connect her and her policies with voters so voters understand what she's doing and give her credit for the things that she's doing that they like.
Steven Greenberg joins us on the Capital Connection this week from the Sienna poll. Steven, what's the methodology? Let's remind people what your methodology is here and who you're actually reaching out to garner their opinions when it comes to Hochul and other topics, including her proposals.
Sure. Well, this was a survey of a sample of the New York State electorate. So there are roughly 12 million voters registered in New York. And we talked to a random sample of 803 of those registered voters. 506 of those 803 were contacted through phone, largely, almost exclusively cell phone. And another 297 were drawn from an online panel that we have used for several years now to help supplement the phone calls. So overall, we spoke to 803 voters. The poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 4.2%.
When you reach out to people to talk to them, is there a human being on the other end of the line? Is it voice prompts? How does that work?
We have a call center on the campus in Loudonville, and we have live callers who call to talk to these people. There's no, we don't do, you know, if you support X, press 2.
Yeah.
No, there's none of that. We speak to, you know, we have live human beings speaking to live human beings on the other end of the phone.
What are the pollsters saying? What are your colleagues saying about AI, artificial intelligence? Will this factor, you think, into future polling?
You know, I am not necessarily the right person to talk to about those kinds of issues. But certainly, you know, AI is going to be a part of virtually everything moving forward. It's a part of many things already, and its reach is only going to grow. So I know there are people far smarter than I in the polling world who are talking about it, looking at it. The credible pollsters from across the country all want to get it right. So constantly looking at methodology, looking at new ways to get respondents to complete polls, sharing stories and experiences with each other, trying to come up with best practices.
And it's important, right, to know where these polls originate from. So if it's coming from Siena College, it's an independent poll, like Marist College. But we do have polls that aren't so independent out there, don't we? And it's important to understand not only the methodology, but who's doing the poll.
Absolutely. Look, there are some really fine, wonderful, excellent pollsters on both sides of the aisle. There are great Democratic pollsters. There are great Republican pollsters who work for candidates, who work for the parties, who work for the party committees. They want to get it right. They want to tell their client, yeah, you're up by 5 or you're down by 10 or whatever it is. They want to be honest. But we often see campaigns leak, quote unquote, leak polls to the public because it helps them with fundraising, or it tells the public that they have momentum, that they're leading, or that they're coming close.
Right,
and they just need a little push.
Right, so, Stephen. It's like they say, excuse me for interrupting, but, you know, well, you know, these polls, these public polls, these independent polls show this, but our internal polling shows this.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is, as we talked about, a poll is a snapshot in time. So there's also a 95% confidence level when you do the poll correctly. And what does that mean? That means one out of every 20 polls, even if your methodology is perfect, even if you draw the absolute right sample, one out of every 20 polls is going to be a clunker. Now, when you get one in February, that's hard to prove me wrong on. But when we're doing polls in late October and November and putting them out there publicly, there is no incentive for Siena to tip the scale and help the Republicans or help the Democrats by giving them better poll numbers, because you see what our poll says. And then a few days or a week later, you see what the actual results are. So Siena says the Republican's going to win by 5, but the Democrat wins by 10. That didn't help us. Our only goal is to get it right. I find myself on election night putting aside completely my personal political views, and all I do is root for the candidate Siena says is going to win.
Yeah, and, you know, the polls themselves contain margin of error. I mean, the idea that all social scientific research, quite frankly, has a margin of error. So if you have a poll that's neck and neck, but there's a margin of error of 3 points, that could go either way.
Absolutely. You know, candidate X can win by 3, candidate Y can win by 3, or it could come down to, you know, 10 votes separating the two candidates.
Well, and did we miss anything in the national election from your perspective in terms of, it was close, certainly was close in the end, but it seemed like Trump did considerably better this time around.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I think the polling was pretty accurate overall. Certainly, I think Siena came out doing well in the 2024 elections. And what we saw is that even though Donald Trump won all 7 swing states, they were largely very close. And all of the polling, or the vast majority of the polling leading up to Election Day, showed those seven swing states to be very close. So, you know, it's hard to say the polling missed it, given that it said that there were going to be close races in these seven states. There were. It just so happens Donald Trump ran the table and won them all.
He sure did. Well, let's turn to Donald Trump and some of the proposals here that you've been pulling on. We're speaking with Steven Greenberg from the well-known Siena poll at the Siena College Research Institute, scri.siena.edu. You can check them out there. Voters overwhelmingly favor deporting criminal immigrants, divided on non-criminal immigrants. Of course, this was a big policy and has been for Donald Trump ever since he got into elected politics, the idea of immigration. So this is what you're finding out in the poll.
Absolutely. Look, when we ask voters, do you support or oppose deporting immigrants who are in this country illegally and have been convicted of a crime? There is overwhelming support. 79% of New Yorkers support that notion, including 91% of Republicans, 86% of independents, 69% of Democrats. But then when we change the question up a little bit and ask voters, do you support or oppose immigrants living in the United States illegally who have no criminal record? There we find a narrow plurality, 42% oppose that idea compared to 39% who support it. Why? Republican support came down from 91% to 64%. Independent support came down from 86% to 43%, still a plurality, however. But the real switch was Democrats. 69% of Democrats support illegal immigrants who've been convicted of a crime, but 59% of Democrats oppose deporting illegal immigrants who have no criminal records.
That is very, very interesting. Well, let's continue. We're fast moving through the Capital Connection. I'm David Gustin, and we're here with Siena College pollster Steven Greenberg. President Trump, certainly loved by Republicans, I see, has his best ever favorable rating in New York, but continues to do poorly with Democrats. No surprise.
Absolutely. Look, there is a wide partisan divide. You know, we talked about some of the issues on the state side that have bipartisan support, and we see that on the federal side for some issues as well. But when it comes to the personalities, we have two separate countries, in essence. So 83% to 13%, Republicans have a favorable view of Donald Trump. 81 to 17%, Democrats have an unfavorable view of Donald Trump. Independents started down the middle by a very narrow two-point margin, 48 to 46%. Independents say they have a favorable view of Trump. So pretty much break even. Overall, though, when we look at all New York voters, 41% have a favorable view of Trump, 56% have an unfavorable view. It is the best favorability rating Donald Trump has had in New York since December 2016, the month after he won election the first time, the month before he took office for the first time. At that point, he had a 41 to 53% favorability rating. Right now, his unfavorables are 3 points higher than that, 41 to 56. But that 41 matches the highest Trump has ever had in New York. And Siena started polling on Donald Trump well over a decade ago, because before he even ran for president or talked about running for president, you may recall back in the early 2010s, there was talk that he might run for governor of New York. Yeah. So Siena started polling on him way back then. He has never been popular with New York voters before he was president, while he was president, in between being president, and now again as president early on, his first month in office. Overall, New York voters don't have a favorable view of Donald Trump.
It's interesting because I always, you know, ask the Democrats that I interview for this program about whether, because Donald Trump did better this time, won a large plurality, but in New York he did better especially upstate. And I asked the Democrats as to whether they're going to be considering that factor when they negotiate in the state legislature. And of course, they have majorities, so they don't have to do much of that. But what we see ultimately is that they take the affordability agenda that they realize is on so many people's minds and that the Republicans have been harping on, as well as criminal justice issues, public safety, and they run with it. So they're paying attention as well.
Yeah, no question about that, Dave. I mean, look, politicians of all stripes want to be popular with their constituents. They want to get reelected or run for a different office. They want to be popular. So you often see politicians of either party or both parties talking publicly about issues that they think their voters will respond to.
From there, let's go to these two proposals that came and you pulled on, which is renaming the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America and imposing Mexican-Canadian tariffs, as well as retaking the Panama Canal. Now, we should say that the tariffs have been paused for a month as negotiations continue between Mexico and Canada from the U.S., but these are three major proposals that had the news headlines screaming when they came out. What are you finding?
Well, on all three of them, Democrats overwhelmingly oppose the ideas. On all three of them, Republicans support. On two of them, overwhelmingly. On one of them, it's a plurality of Republicans renaming the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America. And independents are with the president on the Panama Canal. They're sort of break even on the tariffs, but they are strongly opposed to renaming the Gulf of Mexico. So overall, though, none of these three are popular with New Yorkers. Taking back control of the Panama Canal, supported by 34% of voters, opposed by a plurality of 41%. The tariffs on Mexico and Canada, supported by nearly a third, 32%, but opposed by nearly half, 49%. And renaming the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America, 3-1 opposition, 60% to 20%.
And I'm just seeing this, Stephen. Voters support Trump's proposal mandating only two genders in the U.S., male and female, rescinding policies recognizing transgender Americans, 47 to 40%.
Absolutely. Democrats are opposed to that idea, 62 to 28%. But Republicans support it, 83 to 8%. And independent voters support it nearly 2-1, 53 to 27%.
Now let's just spend a little time with the Vice President, J.D. Vance, and the first time you've asked about Elon Musk is in the poll.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, there's very little difference between how New Yorkers feel about Vance and Musk. Right now, 34% of New Yorkers view the vice president favorably, 51%. View him unfavorably. Little change from the last time we asked about Vance, which was back in September during the election when he was 33 favorable and 53 unfavorable. And right now, Elon Musk has a comparable 34% favorable, 53% unfavorable rating. Democrats, more than three quarters of Democrats view Musk unfavorably. Two-thirds of Republicans view Musk favorably. And a narrow plurality, 45 to 38% independent voters view Musk favorably.
Stephen Greenberg from the Siena poll. What's next? What are you working on? What's coming? Can you tell us?
Well, we'll certainly take another look at where New Yorkers are as we work our way through the budget process. So sometime in early or mid-March, we'll be out with our next statewide poll. And we're just looking around what else is going on in New York. It's early in the off-year election season, but we're certainly keeping eyes on what's going on.
How does it work? You know, you say you have these conference rooms, these call centers. Can people come to work and help you with polls?
Yeah, well, a lot of the callers are students at Siena, but a lot of the callers are people from the community who want a job or a part-time job, making phone calls and trying to get people to complete polls. So absolutely.
How would they get in touch if that's something they want to do?
They should go to the Siena College Research Institute's website, which is siena.edu/SCRI. There's a way to get in contact with the folks from the call center on the website.
Stephen Greenberg from the well-known Siena poll. is joining us on the Capital Connection this week. And one of the things that gets me is that while polling is so very important to politicians, it's often the chicken and the egg, isn't it, Stephen? In other words, what's leading what? Are we really looking at the problems, or are we really just looking at what people think and then trying to address them?
You know, that's a great question, Dave, and one that should be put to policymakers. What we simply try to do is put out the information and educate New Yorkers on where their fellow New Yorkers stand on various people and various policy and political proposals.
Yeah, well, keep doing your good work. Stephen Greenberg has been on the Capital Connection this week. He is from the well-known Siena Poll. You can find out more at siena.edu/SCRI. Stephen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and get the numbers about what's happening with people who we know in New York State as well as policy. And I hope that we'll get you back when the next poll comes out.
Absolutely, Dave. Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative. The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another political conversation. For The Capital Connection, I'm David Giustina.